Welcome back to the final segment of Monday Night Talk. That's Sweet Little Bloodhound. And singing happens to be the final guest of the evening, Devlin Miles, who's in studio for a visit. I have to ask you, so I'm like watching this video, and you guys are all like piled into a small room.
That's true.
I'm not taking it personal, but I mean, what was the idea behind that?
You know what? Actually, we were entered for the Tiny Desk, the NPR Tiny Desk concerts, and they wanted you to be behind a desk, and we needed to get the sound really great. And so in order to get a mix of all the instruments, we thought, well, the tighter the space, the better the sound. So we really brought it all in. Maybe I shouldn't give the tip to other NPR contestants.
It's a secret.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah,
that was the book.
Yeah, that was the trick. So that's how we did it. And actually, they do that a bit on the Jimmy Fallon show. They also have seen, I've seen that. So I was like, oh, that's kind of cool.
Very clever. So we have you here. You get multiple purposes why you're here for this particular segment. I was fortunate many years ago to meet you courtesy of a gentleman who recently passed. A great man who is not, he passed away at the age of 98. And I know that he was somebody who liked the city of Brockton, was a proud man. If you will, speak a little bit about your grandfather.
Yes, Grandpa Dan. Dan W. Miles, he was an avid member of the community in Brockton, and he was a prisoner of war for 3 years in
Heck
World
of
War II.
Story.
They did a great series on him in the Brockton Enterprise. I think it was like a 6-week series of him in the about his POW experience.
Yep.
I actually wanted to get him on 60 Minutes because I just thought he was so well spoken. Even I would say even up to 97.
He was a poised kind of a guy. He knew how to talk. He knew when the microphone was on.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And actually, he introduced me to you years ago. So at 92, I was just thinking about that earlier. He was 92 when he came in to speak with you about community stuff and power, I think, power plant that was happening at the time. So
it's still ongoing. That's
yes, you were saying that. That's a long time.
The saga continues.
Right.
Like Star Wars. We're filming episode 8 now.
100%. But he's the father of 10 children and... 6 grandchildren, 8 greats. So it's a big family gathering for him, and it'll be a great last family reunion with Grandpa Dan. So it's an emotional, but it'll be a great one with the community.
So I thought I would take a time to let you pay homage to him, but also talk about. And I did this a few weeks ago with Brian Stratton, who is a host here on 95.9 WATD. Friends with Benefits is the name of the program.
That's
Wednesdays,
funny.
Wednesdays and Thursdays, where you never know from week to week where the conversation is going to go.
But I would say so.
Brian is well-versed. But we had a conversation, and it was right around the time that we saw the passing of many people. There were many people in January, early February, who had passed away, and some of them of the musical. And I might add, what's kind of weird is that recently, within the past couple of weeks, we saw someone else pass. And I'll bring that up towards the end of the program. But the passing of the likes of David Bowie and Glenn Frey, and there are other names in there. So I thought I would take an opportunity, yourself being a musician, you know, and where some of the influences may have lied when it came to the likes of a David Bowie, who found a way to be different when he needed to and change with each era.
Yeah, I we were talking about that before air about David Bowie and his styles, and I found his style to be very fascinating in how he did change through the years. And personally, I was more one of those pop favorites. I enjoyed his more popular stuff, but I totally see the merit in all his artistic stuff. And I watched his most recent release. And that was pretty tremendous. It was like a 10-minute video, and it did feel like sort of a goodbye to his fans. It was
really
pretty intense, yeah. So I highly recommend it just to check it out. It's definitely David Bowie-esque, which has this sort of there's a spiritual sense to it, but also like a chanting to it. And yeah, it's really fabulous. I can't remember the name. I can probably look it up and get it for you. But
well, that'll give me an opportunity to play a little David Bowie. This is something that I liked, and then of course, maybe the younger folks will know it from it being on the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack. Moon Age Daydream. But it was an era that, you know, he was part of that, you know, you could hear the guitars and hear the difference in his voice compared to as he aged.
Yeah, I definitely hear that in artists a lot. Like even Bonnie Raitt, I was listening to some of her early stuff. Mm. It's just interesting how the voice is captured and it changes. And I feel like it gets richer with age. I mean, there's a little bit of youth in the voice that you can hear here with David Bowie, and you know, enthusiasm. And I'm not saying that doesn't change. It's just interesting to hear the texture of the voice more prominent as they age. I like it.
And as you and I had a chance to talk, I thought I would slide in something that was a little bit more to your liking. You like some of the pop stuff, as you mentioned.
I did.
Modern Love.
Yeah, Modern Love, Let's Dance, Pressure.
Under Pressure.
Under Pressure, sorry. I nicknamed it. And that kind of stuff. Yeah, I was much more of the, like, 80s chick into the 80s scene at that time. And that could be just generational because...
it could be.
Yeah. And that was what
it's
was happening
thing,
at the
though.
Time. Yeah. But I definitely felt it when he passed. I was like, what? That's crazy. I think maybe because it wasn't in the news at all, too. You weren't able to prepare. And not that you can ever really prepare, but...
Never.
That's kind of what it struck me when he passed. I know a lot of my friends were like, what? That's crazy. And, you know, kind of memorializing in some way. And we want to do a tribute to a lot of the artists that have passed recently. So we might do something by the end of the year as well, like just like cover some of their tunes. So we've been looking into that as a band. So
are you saying that you're like a child of the 80s? Are you somebody who really liked the 80s?
It's funny that you asked that because... Yes and no. I really loved the rock scene in the 80s, but I hated the dancing. I thought the dancing was horrible at the time. It was like step touch, step touch, step touch. There was like no dancing.
Huh? I hated the haircuts personally, but that's just
yeah, the clothing and fashion is a whole nother story. I wouldn't say I was a fan of that either. But Bowie, he really rocked the style. No matter what he was doing, he made a very strong choice in his costumes and there's a lot of great interviews out there with Bowie. I've been listening to a lot. One, the NPR interview was awesome. Mm. It was done in 2006, and he talks about how he hated performing. Like, he wasn't really into the live performance, which I thought was really fascinating. So he said he would do it. You know, he enjoyed it, but, like, he didn't want to tour for a year and a half on this doing the same material.
Do you think it's that, or is it a matter of – I mean, there's some who don't like being on stage in front of an audience.
I think a little bit of that, too. It did indicate that, and I can get that. And I definitely, if I go a while without performing, I definitely get much more nervous. I'm always nervous when I play, like, before a show.
But isn't that good? I mean, I liken it to, I'll give you an example, boxers, fighters, anybody who is in a sport like that, where if you're getting to get into the ring, you want to be a little nervous, that you want to have it where that it drives the adrenaline.
I definitely think so. I mean, I would get that way even in sports in school. Like, I would get nervous before a softball game or before a soccer match or something. So it definitely is something that's been throughout my life. And I do think that nerves kind of energize you in that situation. And I think most performers would say they do get nervous. If they don't, that would be really surprising to me.
Now, I know management is in the house. You haven't mentioned, do you want to give a little love to management that's in the house? She may not get on the microphone,
She's waving her hand.
give her a little love on air.
Kim Nicolaias, she's our photographer / manager, helps book the band and stuff, and she does a lot of the great artwork on the album covers and the video that we shot, we were talking about earlier, the NPR video, and so she's got a lot of talents in that way that really advance our online presence, I guess I should say.
All right. Well, that's very good to know, and lots of love to management. We'll make sure we at least gave it.
Yeah. Oh, sure. NicolaiasPhotography.com in case anybody's interested in her work.
she made her way all the way up here from Brooklyn.
Hello. Holla back, Brooklyn.
Jersey gal, as she indicated. And so we want to at least give a little bit of respect. That
Absolutely.
She made the trip.
Thanks for coming, Kim.
making sure that you got here and you got here in a timely fashion to be able to kind of talk and have this conversation.
Right, fresh from New York.
We were speaking with Devlin Miles of the lead singer and...
of Sweet Little Bloodhound.
Sweet Little Bloodhound. I was going to say that.
Oh, I thought you were indicating, hey,
no.
Give me a little help here.
Yeah, I know. You know what it is? I'm doing the ISL thing here, the Italian Sign Language. So
Italian Sign Language. Yeah, I love
what,
that.
That's what it is.
That's great.
So it's like I talk with my hands. It goes one with the other.
That's awesome.
It doesn't translate well with radio because it is not a visual medium.
True.
But it helps me to be able to kind of, you know, get out my words.
I understand completely.
But it's great to have you in. And this is not your first time. You were here last year. We had a conversation when Sweet Little Bloodhound was putting out its...
A new album. Yeah. And it is
going
by the same title, Sweet Little Bloodhound. You know what? It's really going amazing. I hit a speed bump, and I think it might have been right when I met you here last year where I hit that speed bump, which was like the band had a major personnel change, we'll call it.
Okay.
And I would say that I didn't know I was writing that album for the band that I now work with, and the band is amazing. So I'm really excited about touring with these guys, and we've been doing like regional touring and such, and so we hope to like come hit the Marshfield scene soon.
what is that like? Just so folks who don't know, who don't get into the whole music, there's you need to have a certain dynamic to be successful as a band, and there has to be a cohesion as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I can tell you from experience, I've worked with I don't know, many bands, 5 to 7 bands through the years. And there's always somebody in the mix that causes a ruckus, like that bad apple that you work with at a store or whatever you are. That, like, there's always somebody.
But Donny Osmond said it best.
Yeah.
One bad apple
ruins
doesn't spoil the whole.
For real? No, but they do color it. So I feel like what it takes for a band to be cohesive is it takes passive and aggressive people, I think. People that don't mind sitting back a little bit and people that want to be forward and leaders because you have to be okay with your position within the band. In this situation, we have 3 or 4 people that led their own band, and that helps us as a whole because they understand how hard it is. If you don't ever run your own band, you will never understand why you don't get gigs, why you don't have a full calendar, because you have to send like 5 to 10 emails to one person to get one gig and multiply that by as many gigs as you have. It's very challenging. So it really takes, you asked me the ingredients. One is humor. You have to have humor, and we have a lot of fun on the road with the band.
And besides doing the musical aspect, are you still doing the podcast?
Oh, yeah. We have our podcast called SLB Indie Trailer, which is geared towards indie musicians and anybody who likes independent music, because we do play indie artists on the show. But we'll meet.
What's that like? What's that like to go from the person who was a performer to speaking with other like-minded performers?
You know what I found is I really enjoy learning things through my ears. I think that's where I advance. So I got into listening to podcasts first. And I've always loved the voice. I think the voice is just, there's so much magical qualities in the voice itself, and so much you can transfer within speaking to somebody, that I think there's a lot of power there. So I just enjoy that aspect of the voice. So that's what really got me into podcasting. And I love people. I love listening to their stories. I love hearing what's going on. I love to learn through other people. So it just seemed like the right medium for me to be able to meet guests that may not even be related to music per se, but somehow relate them by asking what artists are listening to and, you know, bringing music in somehow. Like we're connected to Broadway. You know, in New York, we have a lot of different people pulling from lots of different fields in the entertainment world. So it's exciting to me.
What's been the most unique story that you've heard so far during your podcast?
Oh, dear. You know, some of my favorites are...
And just in case any of those past previous guests are listening, all of you have a great story. But I'm just asking you to pick something that just kind of still resonates with you.
Well, you know what? I actually really enjoy editing the podcast from the live band. They're hard. They're a lot of work because there's hours and hours of material. But one of my favorite stories is actually when Buttas, the bass player, we were at a house concert, and he ended up using, what is it? It's Icy Hot. It was in a little stick, and he ended up using it as I don't know if you know what Icy Hot is, but he used it as deodorant, and we all didn't understand the concept of it until we were riding along in the van. He goes, "Oh my." You know, he was on fire. And I can't even go into the details, but that episode hasn't even aired yet. It's going to be in the next couple of weeks, I think. But it was just so funny, and it just carries so much weight with the band when we go on the road. We're like, oh, that's an Icy Hot moment, you know?
So he's been a phrase that has been coined.
Yeah. And Squirrel Level is another one. Squirrel Level is a really funny one where we say, bring it down to a squirrel level so you can understand it. And we had that on, as we were hitting the road, we saw a sign that said the street was Squirrel Level. And it came at the right time in the conversation. We've had a lot of fun with that one.
Something that I'll have to keep in mind. Squirrel.
Bring it down to the squirrel level.
Level.
Keep it simple.
Brought to you by Devlin Miles. Let's kind of go back to digress back to the conversation of, right. of some of the artists that have departed and are no longer with us. And I thought I would take a moment here to talk a little bit about the Eagles. I think the Eagles, one of those groups that has transcended American music, and that everybody can pick a song, whether it's from the group as itself, or let's not forget there's been times that, you know, different artists from the band have gone off and done solo projects.
Sure.
So Glenn Frey, who recently passed away right around the time that David Bowie passed as
right.
well. Give me your thoughts on a band like the Eagles.
Well, what's interesting is I was really into the Eagles again, like when he passed, because we had just finished watching the rockumentaries on Netflix. There's an early Eagles version, and then there's a later version after they had their Hell Freezes Over mm-hmm. tour.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was really surprised by his passing, because we were looking forward to him being on the Kennedy Center Honors, and we watched that, and they canceled their performance because he wasn't feeling well. So I was aware that he was not doing well, but I didn't know that he was, you know, not going to come out of it. So it was a bit of a bummer, or just a bit of a bummer. That seems kind of foolish, but... You know what I mean? Passing is always a bit of a bummer.
Right.
I don't know what to say, but certain bands ring true to you, and they were one of the bands from my past that really helped me with harmonies and that kind of feel, that Southern rock sound. Yeah, that helped influence us.
Little Eagles, Take It Easy.
There you go.
Take it easy. Don't let the sound of your own wheels drive you crazy.
The music that we heard in the 70s and the 80s, you think is it a style that we'll ever hear again?
I hope so. I'm holding in there, because
shaking her head. I think your manager,
and there's been a real big push for rock to come back, because rock has not really had a strong presence. And coming from the voting side of the Grammys, it was a really small category. Actually, country was the smallest category this year, which is surprising to me. And Americana was the largest, which is usually the smallest. So that gives you an idea of where the country is. But then they didn't televise the Americana, which was Brandi Carlile was nominated and a few others in there. But it's interesting to see it shift like that.
And just so folks know, when you say Americana, what kind of a music are we hearing? Is there a mix? Is there a fused type of...
Yeah, I would personally, when Americana covers Americana, Roots, I would say sometimes Zydeco, there might be a separate category for that, but that might fall into that.
Okay.
So you're going to find like a lot of like maybe acoustic instruments, acoustic guitar, drum beats that may not, you know, definitely not tracks. You're not going to have tracks in Americana at all. But if I were to say right...
Off-time stuff?
Maybe a little off-time. I mean, Brandi Carlile being one of the nominees, she has like a punk rock influence with folk. So that kind of like drives it. But to me, I say it's like an acoustic rock overall.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
Because music like these days, if you go to look at the different types of music, let's say you're somebody who's doing a Pandora type of thing, or you're looking to play music, and it's no longer just rock.
Right.
It's no longer just country. There are so many...
Subgenres.
Yes, subgenres where, you know, the tree has many, many a branch.
Yeah, it drives me crazy a little bit because...
Really?
Yeah, because, you know, back in the day, rock and roll... was rock and roll, and it was very encompassing. I mean, look at Queen. Look at the stuff that Queen did.
Sure.
I mean, they did operas under the category of rock. I mean,
Styx, I think, did stuff like that, too.
Yeah, like, I wish that they were a little bit more flexible, because sometimes people, I don't like rock, or I don't like country, and I don't really feel like that's that kind of pigeonhole. It's almost like pigeonholing an actor and saying, well, they can only play a gay actor, or they can only play a cop.
Do comedies and do stuff right.
So I feel like that's not really David Bowie is a perfect example because we were talking about him earlier. Like he has a spectrum, and sometimes the fans went with him when he changed his spectrum, yep. or they didn't. And I was one of those that I like the more popular stuff, and I tend to like verse chorus kind of stuff because I want to sing along. So if I can't sing along, you're not gonna always be a big fan, and that's kind of what is my prerequisite sometimes.
What we're going to be playing a little bit now is somebody that I had talked about this band and a band that I basically just recently discovered, and I think you said you voted on Alabama Shakes.
Love Alabama Shakes, and she's so talented and so we were talking about that on the way up of how she doesn't fit your typical like pushed out of Hollywood. Artist that like looks gorgeous and they make sound great. She is great and she has soul and she is like doing what she can do within like her spectrum and not feeling classified. So I don't know how much, I would love to hear how much she's pushed on her appearance, but she presents herself really well. And I can't wait to see them live. I haven't seen them live yet.
I want to see them alive as well, and it's such an interesting dynamic where they get two keyboard players. She plays guitar. She's not just a singer.
Mm-hmm.
She plays guitar and she plays it well.
Yes, rock guitar.
The bass player is an interesting character.
Yeah, they just played it at the White House yesterday. It was yesterday or the day before.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I think their label is ATO Records, which is regional around here. I think.
Sure.
It's Dave Matthews' band.
And that's what's playing. That's what's playing. And this is Don't Want to Fight No More.
This is the one that won the Grammy.
They won Alternative Rock.
They won Alternative Rock. They won Best Grammy Performance and Album of the Year. This was for the performance, this one.
So give it a little volume. Bring this up just a little bit for a moment here. Odd to know that just a few short years ago, Brittany, right? Isn't that the lead singer?
Mm-hmm. Brittany Howard.
Brittany Howard, yep. Was delivering mail.
That is amazing.
Delivering mail and is now an award-winning, part of an award-winning band that you can only go up from here, right?
Amazing. And let me just say the guitar riff on that nailed me right away. It's just so cool. Right at the top of that song, I was like, this sounds good. This is different. I was digging it. So, like,
I think it's the hook.
Yeah.
The hook of the how the song starts, where she's got like a screech.
Oh, yeah.
And if you listen to the words, and there's a couple other songs, I actually went out and bought the album.
Right.
After seeing her perform during the Grammys.
I mean, think about how many dogs she had to scream at. That could be where it came from if she was delivering mail.
God, heaven knows that sometimes you got to scream at the dog.
I don't want to fight no more, no.
Yeah. But no, again, it's a fantastic, we sit here and we talk about some of those who, have left us, but yet there's hope that there are... new generation that are out there and seeing the makeup, and she's got three backup singers. That it's just the dynamic of the band that amazes me.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I'm saying. Just overall, like I've always been striving to have that band for me. I never wanted to be that solo artist, and I just am so amazed at the people that I'm working with. I'm amazed by their talent and how much they push me. You know, Chanel Jenkins. She's a female trumpet player and vocalist. And Olivia Martinez, she plays the violin and vocals, and Jabril Noor drums. Ollie Bishop plays guitar. Like he's influenced by Lenny Kravitz, as well as Buttas, who plays the bass, and Tony, who plays keys. So everybody in the band is a character in a lot of ways. And I think that's what the podcast does. It invites people in to actually experience it with the band and kind of experience their personalities.
All right, so we just have a couple of moments left here with you. We're going to outro with a Sweet Little Bloodhound song. This is an opportunity for you to kind of tease folks as to when you might be coming up to the Boston area or having them check you out on the website, social media, keep it up with you. Yeah.
Sure. Currently, we're working on the bookings for the spring in the area, but then you could follow us at SL Bloodhound on Twitter and Instagram.
She'll follow you back.
That's right, 100%. And then you could we're on Facebook at Devlin Miles Fans. That gives you more of a visual perspective.
But, she does Instagram too.
And sweetlittlebloodhound.com gives you all the information about the bands with the date and stuff like that. So you can sign up our mailing list there, and we'll let you know when we're coming local.
Sounds like a plan, and we'll have you back on. And I think we should probably also, I should have a talk with John Shea, who is the host of Tuesday Nights, Almost Famous.
Fantastic.
And see if we find a way to have you, when you're up in the area, pop in and maybe do something. Maybe it's,
sure, we could fit in there.
Maybe whether it's, again, it's a matter of, well, that's the tiny stage that's
exactly
that you're looking at. And we could talk about that now. As a part of a Monday Night Talk, I want to give you an opportunity to set up the song that we're going to go out with.
Awesome.
Called Superhero?
Superhero Female.
Superhero Female.
Right. That's for all the ladies out there. And
for the ladies.
And the men who love the ladies that are superheroes. And just encouraging you to keep striving, women.
Again, you have been listening to Monday Night Talk. And until next week at 6:15 p.m., when we do it all over again, have yourself a great evening. Pretending that I'm static.